Blog Talk Radio.
No,
God bless everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report. And Sister Marie, she just messed everything up at the beginning of the show by throwing that album, that record, on the phone here. And wow, what a great song! What a great song! Now we're all excited over here. We're all excited. We're ready to go. Sister Marie did it this morning. She just spiced things up. Well, we have a great show in store for you. As always, these shows are provocative. They cause you to think. They force you to bring your thinking cap on. This program is not for dummies. If you are a dummy, you're listening to the wrong broadcast. If you're an ignoramus or a moron, don't tune in. This broadcast is for thinking people, people who want to be challenged mentally, people who want to be taught and discipled. So you tuned in to the End Time News Report, which again, is, like I said, is just provocative. Before I bring my sister on, let me just tell everyone that if you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, and we promise to pray for you. In addition to that, we are praying for Joshua. Joshua needs prayer. Just say, Lord, touch Joshua. You know Joshua's needs. You know who this Joshua is. Touch him. We're praying for Irene. She had a MRI done, and they saw a spot in her body, and she's being scheduled for surgery. And let's just pray that it's nothing serious. Irene, let's continue to pray for Irene. We thought she was going to be having surgery on Monday, but what they did was, instead of surgery, they did a consultation. And so let's continue to pray for her, Irene. Also, we're praying for Kevin. Kevin happens to be the brother of Sister Linda, who was a longtime listener of this broadcast and who went home to be with the Lord a year ago. So we're praying for Kevin now. Kevin has bone cancer, and he's got diabetes complications. So let's pray for them. Also, we were in studio yesterday, Sister AJ and myself, and as always, we had a great time exposing and just mocking and making fun of and just nitpicking at Dallas Jenkins's infantile series called The Chosen. Why people watch that junk, I don't know. I don't know why they watch that junk. Listen, you're better off watching Happy Days or Laverne and Shirley. You get more Bible out of Happy Days or Laverne and Shirley than watching The Chosen. You get more Bible. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Here's a preacher recommending that you watch Laverne and Shirley instead of The Chosen. Why? The Chosen's got to be pretty bad. Oh, why don't you listen. Why don't you just watch some Bugs Bunny cartoons and you'll be better off than watching The Chosen. It is complete rubbish, garbage, foolishness. And let me just put this back on. Just a few more. Let me just do this one more again so we can mess everything up again. Here we go. Thank you. Why does Sister Marie have to mess me up today by throwing that record on? Sister Marie, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. And you, bro?
You have to mess me up by putting that record on. Now I just want to have church.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Same thing with me today. I was playing that around the house and dancing. And, great song. That's from Detroit.
Motown
worship there.
That's it. So how you doing?
I'm doing great. And you?
You got a good break in the weather? Did you get a good break?
Yesterday. was a little warmer, and the sun was out. It was fantastic. I mean, it was in the 30s. So
right.
That's warm. You know that. That feels warm
when
the sun's out. Today we've had a slight dusting of snow, a little cooler.
Right.
Gloomy.
Right. Yeah, that's it. It's raining a little bit, you know. But yesterday was beautiful.
Rain.
Yesterday was a beautiful day. It was amazing yesterday.
Yep.
But I'm looking forward to the show because we left off on a good note. The guy you had last week was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I like brainy people. He's brainy, but he makes it simple, right?
Yes.
He's not talking over your head.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to just listen to him and say, wow, this guy is brilliant. And he's conveying, he's conveying truth in a way you can understand and not get lost.
Right.
So,
and he's they're from TrueStream Media, by the way. And this is a secular point of view because at the end of this, I noticed he had a lot of questions himself. He had a lot of questions, and we have the answers to those questions.
Right.
And the answer is Christ, But as far as, his intellect, I mean, these people are real researchers. They are not Google researchers. These people actually read the books,
Right.
They go through the material. Really deep as far as their research goes. So, that's why I like them.
Yeah,
and they back it up with, they
can
back up everything.
I mean, we are pretty tired of just hearing preachers say stuff that, there's no Bible verses to, right? I mean, how many preachers have we heard that just, say things that are just crazy?
Oh,
like for example, Jennifer LeClaire, and she's talking about mermen. The merman spirit, and I'm saying, oh my goodness, this poor girl, she's there's so many like her. Yeah, there's so many like her, right? But
What's amazing is the secular world has also picked this up. They're using terms that Jennifer LeClaire uses. In the secular, without even being connected to the church, any church.
Right.
They're using these terms of these spirits.
Amazing.
It is amazing. It's filtered. Look at this bad teaching of the church is filtered into the world. That's bad.
Right.
Think about that.
Right. I tell you, it's it's crazy. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, scary.
This is what I find. I find that worldly people, like I'll give you an example. If you were to say to worldly people, there's a Leviathan spirit, or there's a sneaky squid spirit, or there's a python spirit, they would burst out laughing.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
They would. They would burst out laughing because of the absurdity of such a statement. And then church folk who claim to have the Holy Spirit and have all this discernment are drinking the Kool-Aid and saying, yeah, there's a merman spirit and there's a spirit of this
yeah.
and a spirit, you know. And but unsaved people listen to that and they say, boy, that is stupid.
We need to
sci-fi.
Put her away. Yes.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Time for the home.
Absolutely.
That's what they would say
absolutely.
To me if I said that, you know. They
right,
would say,
right,
oh,
right.
It's time for the home.
Yeah.
You need to put her away
absolutely.
Now.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah.
So the unsaved
yeah.
people are just kind of smarter, you know, in so
yeah.
many respects. And you know, and they don't claim to have the Holy Spirit. They don't claim to have a special discernment. But
mm-hmm.
they can see through the nonsense.
Yeah. Well,
right?
judgment does begin in the house of God, you know.
yeah.
Think
yeah.
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, and the other thing is most of these so-called houses of worship are not houses of worship. I mean, they're not established by Jesus.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a place where people go to get conned by religious hucksters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? So,
yep.
It is what it is. So,
yep.
Wow.
Interesting times. Interesting.
All right. So set
yep.
this up for us today.
Well, we're going back to the Gordian knot. And now that's a term from a classical myth and Greek legend. Now I'm going to let what I didn't realize is he explains it at the end and he makes the comparison. So I'll let him do that. But
okay.
it's often used as a metaphor for an intractable problem. And that's a problem hard to deal with or a problem out of control. You know,
mm-hmm.
something you don't know what to do with. And we do know that Alexander the Great cut it with a sword. It is an actual knot. It was referring to a knot. And it was the only way to solve it was to cut it with a sword. That's metaphoric to me. I
mm-hmm.
just saw that as biblical. I could see the biblical view of that in the end times. I really could. So anyway, they're linked together and
okay.
With no seam. So it's something that's linked together without a seam, but he'll explain that in the end. So in the opening of the audio last week, we're going to listen to their own words, the people, and that's important that we hear what they have to say because it gives us an idea of what their plan is, okay? We're getting
mm-hmm.
insight here. They have said, and this is Carl Sagan, we've arranged a global civilization in which most crucial elements, transportation, think of the trucking thing going on right now, communication, and all other industries, agriculture, medicine, education, entertainment, protecting the environment, and even the key democratic institution of voting profoundly depends upon science and technology. We have also arranged things so that almost no one understands science or technology. This is a prescription for disaster. We might get away with it for a while, but sooner or later, this combustible mixture of ignorance and power is going to blow up in our faces. Now, that was Carl Sagan in his book, The Demon Haunted World, and that's page 26, chapter 2. So that's something that he said. Okay, now we're going to look at, this is a quote from Jacques, he's French. He was a French philosopher, and it's Jacques Ellul, and he's a French philosopher, law professor, sociologist, lay theologian, and described as a Christian anarchist. I need to get into more detail about that, why, you know, he's described
right.
as that. But he said if a ruler wants to play the game by himself, and foul secret policies. He must present a decoy to the masses. He cannot escape the mass, but he can draw himself and that mass an invisible curtain, a screen on which the mass will see projected the image of some politics, while the real politics are being made behind it. And you compared that to Oz, right? Was it
right.
The Wizard of Oz?
Right.
And the,
right.
Is that's amazing. That's an amazing. The guy behind the curtain, right?
Right.
Running the
mm-hmm.
show.
Right.
And another quote he had is, propaganda tries first of all to create conditional reflexes in an individual so that certain words, signs, or symbols, and even persons or facts provoke unfailing reactions. So, you know, the important thing here is that when the time is right, the individual can throw up into action by the utilization of the psychological levers that have been set up. In other words, they're provoking reaction, and we've seen that for the last year, haven't we?
Right.
You know, they're able to affect you emotionally in things, you know, bring you in and affect your emotions on certain issues. And they can flip a switch. You can have a riot.
Right, right, right.
In an instant.
Right.
They can trigger. In the world, it's called triggering. They can trigger you for a reaction. And that's what it's about. They're constantly triggering and pitting people against each other.
Right.
And they flip the switch. That's what it is. That's what the riots are. That's what the protests. You know, we see it everywhere, in everything.
Right.
Now, this is important because the Bible also goes along with this. If we look at Revelation 6:3, the second seal, and we look at the NIV on this, then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make all people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. Again, we need to say this, God's sovereignty. The rider was given permission.
Right.
That is God's, you know, by God.
Absolutely.
So that
Absolutely.
Scripture would be fulfilled. So these things are going to happen. This is just these people fulfilling scripture.
Correct.
You know, and Jesus even said it himself, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. That's Matthew 10:34, King James Version. And then the next is 35, a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Do you see? So
right.
All this rhetoric about peace, if you put this together with what they're doing right now, they're flipping a switch. They are actually turning people against one another
mm-hmm.
by all this. This is just confusion and chaos. Where people live next to each other, you're at peace. You may not agree with that person. That's okay. You know, and you can, they don't like that. They have to put chaos in the mix
mm-hmm.
of that. You know, you have your vaccinated, you're unvaccinated, you know, everything, pitting people against each other. Why? This scripture could be fulfilled with that. When they are able to pit everyone against everyone, you know, they can, this scripture could go along with that. I'm convinced
sure.
of it. And if we look at Luke 12:51, do you think I come to bring peace on earth? This is the NIV. No. I tell you, division. So there's a division that the Lord brings. This is all the sovereignty of God. God is allowing these people to do this. You know, he's allowing
right.
people to do this. Now, we object to certain things going on when it interferes with our own, you know, livelihood and everything. We can object, but God is allowing this to happen to fulfill Scripture. Sooner or later, this must end. I mean, I can see that as clear as day. How far can they take technology? Think about it. They could do crazy stuff. It's got to end.
Sure.
These people have to end. You know.
Well, yeah. Well, they're going to use technology the same way. Look at it this way, right? You every week try to fly under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you try to fly under the radar with the titles and all that is because if we put anything provocative on the title or in the write-up, we get banned or
yes.
we get censored. Now,
correct.
Prostitution doesn't get censored. BLM doesn't get censored, right? So
mm-hmm.
it's not an even playing field. Why? Well, because if it was an even playing field, then you would allow everybody to have their say, and you wouldn't take some people off the
right.
platform.
Right.
But you're making the fight uneven because you're tying both our hands behind our backs. You're making it harder for people to find broadcasts like ours, but you make it real
mm-hmm.
easy for people to find stuff on BLM, as an example,
correct.
Right? So
yes,
it's not a fair fight. So
even with the
technology, they'll use the technology to shut us down. They'll do algorithms,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you
yes.
put Bible in your thing, well, they drop you all the way down to the bottom. Why? Because they don't want Bible studies.
That's
see,
right.
they don't want people discovering the... So all of these different ways of using technology to spy on people, to censor people,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, shut people... They're using it. They're using it.
Yep.
So we're in a losing
yep.
battle, so to speak, when it comes to how we have the odds stacked against us. I mean, that guy...
Right.
You said to me that guy Hugo Talks... He's got like Hugo Talks 3, Hugo Talks whatever, because how many times
yes.
has he been kicked off, right?
Quite a few.
Right.
Quite a few.
He
has to create another channel.
Coming. Right. And
yep.
that's it. You got to keep fighting because these people will shut you down, eliminate your content,
mm-hmm.
muzzle you. They don't want you to speak, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that we're still on the air. I'm really shocked that we're
yes.
still on the air.
Yeah, I'm not.
The
I
way
wasn't
things,
sure we'd last this long.
Right,
either.
Right. Because you also have some friends that are in media, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have people that write articles and all that. How many times have
mm-hmm.
they been censored and banned and shut down and or had a strike against them on
sued.
Their channel or whatever?
Sued. Yeah.
Sued. Look at that.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again,
not
gets
sued
ugly.
For incorrectness, sued for standing on the Word of God,
right.
you know, on a subject. Sued for that. For
so,
offending a people.
Right. So technology is wonderful, but they're using it against us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Well, another quote from Jacques was, mass media provides the essential link between the individual and the demands of the technological society. That's it. That's what you just said.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
It's a mass media that is, you know, it's the essential link between
right.
you and this society that they're creating. Now, in it last week, we also talked about eugenics and identity politics. That was another thing. Can you think of anything
mm-hmm.
else?
No, I'm done with what we just finished talking about. I mean, I have nothing else to add.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have audio one. This is called A Deal with the Devil. I put this in here because this is just a small clip of J.D. Hall and Dave from Protestia.
Okay.
And they're bringing, they show you how the government, how they brought the government and their mad scientists into the church. And you'll see Russell Moore on the picture. That's
right.
The Eddie Munster.
yes.
Out on the left.
Yeah, and
you
he does look like Eddie Munster, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and you'll see Rick Warren on the right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the mad scientist in the middle. It's
sure.
only 1 minute and 31 seconds, but, you know, just a quick, you know, we wonder why is it that the pastors are pushing these things? And they're talking
right.
a little bit about abortion. You know, it's only a minute and 31 seconds. And I like the clip. So we'll start with,
okay? Here it is.
Yeah, the NIH was, they funded they funded research at the University of Pittsburgh, $3.2 million, to help the University of Pittsburgh achieve its goal. They were becoming a fetal tissue collection site. It could quickly, this is according to Breitbart, they could quickly harvest the organs of full-term aborted babies, and this was according to documents obtained by FOIA. So there's a Judicial Watch in the Center for Medical Progress got this information and basically found out that Francis Collins, the supposed evangelical Christian that was giving Russell Moore and Rick Warren and Ed Stetzer and all these guys cover for bringing in the government narrative into the church, Francis Collins was funded.
Which is what it
under
is.
His
bringing in. Let's be clear. So what's happening? This is not a pastor struggling over the scripture who comes to his congregation and says, "I've come to the conclusion from the Word of God, from what I see here, we should ethically vaccinate our children." This is from the outside a scientist coming into the evangelical world through parachurch ministries to convince pastors to go get their make their people go get vaccinated and to feel bad about themselves if they don't. In the meantime, who this guy really is a infanticidal maniac.
That says it all.
Yep. That's what I thought.
That's pretty clear
Speaking
cut.
Of
I mean, the guy didn't pull any punches when he called him an infanticidal maniac. I mean, that's
That was J.D. Hall.
Yeah, that's it. Look, and I know people. Listen, I know the love crowd because you know there's a crowd out there that's let's love one another and all that. No,
right?
You have to hit them right in the mush. You got to sock them right in the mouth.
Right.
And it's got to hurt.
Right.
It's got to hurt these people. It's got to hurt them.
Right.
That's it. So,
you've got to speak the truth. It doesn't matter, you know, about anything else. We need to speak the truth. And there's a lot of people that want to know what's going on right now. We have the answers, folks, to this, you know.
Sure.
And it's the Word of God. We have the answers to the questions, you know, that they're looking for. So I think, you know, it's time to get out there and just give, you know, the answers to this. And that's why we can show, you know, a bit of what the secular world, what they're thinking. And we can say, wait a minute, we have the answer. So the church right now could stand up and provide these answers in this time for a lot of these people. They do not understand the sovereignty of God, you know, in this situation. So, you know.
Yeah, the problem is there are not enough people like us who are just talking up. They're not enough.
Yeah.
People bootlickers and fanny kissers multiply by the day.
Fanny kissers.
Because they get invitations to go and preach and, you know, come to my conference and preach and blah, blah, blah. But for those of us who are just, you know, mushing you in the mouth and hitting you hard, there's no invitations for that. Nobody's going to invite you, you know, to their conference, you know, because you're a troublemaker. So young people going into the ministry say, wait a minute, I want to be successful. So if you want to be successful, you have to kiss fannies and lick boots. So let me do that. You sent over a video one time, and I don't remember exactly, but there was a guy on his knees kissing a Catholic priest's feet, his shoes. And I said, you know, we talk about bootlicking all the time, and there it is right there.
That was part of Lou Engel's group.
Lou Engel, that's the clown. On his knees. On his knees. And the priest, the priest walking to the park where this event was, he stepped on dog doo-doo, and there is Lou Engel's kissing his... Right? Somebody didn't pick up their dog's doo-doo, and the priest stepped in it, and there was Lou Engel's on all fours, like a moron, kissing this. What? Are you kidding?
No.
Listen, if that was me, and I came home, first of all the kids would have been, the kids and the dogs would have been in the car, and my wife would have smacked me on the head with the Bible and says, we'll come back. We'll come back when you get your act together. And the kids wouldn't even wave goodbye to me as they all leave to grandma's house.
Yes, exactly.
I would have nobody home if I did that.
Yep.
Oh,
well, that's a Nebuchadnezzar moment, wasn't it? Because that's exactly what he ordered, you know, the people to do, is to bow and worship.
Right.
Now, what does that tell you? That's,
You
know, conditioning you for the end times, isn't it?
Right. No, listen.
For the Antichrist.
If we told people that we can give them a video where somebody's on his knees bootlicking somebody, they said, no, that's not possible. No, that's not. It's just like that bishop who was ordaining that other bishop and jumped on their backside.
Geez.
Remember that one? Remember that?
Yes.
If we told people, if we, listen.
That was in Detroit, too. I hope it wasn't. Where I
exactly.
Just
no. Exactly. No, listen. If I went back to my secular job and said to the guys on my job, "You want to see something? No, nobody ever did that. No,
I was ordained."
Right. And I showed them that.
I'm sorry.
They would say, "Wow,
you weren't ordained."
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know any other word to call that. I
really
don't.
Oh my goodness. Somebody jumping on your backside like that? No. Listen.
That's not the Holy Ghost, people.
No. Absolutely not. No, no way. No way.
Dear.
There's no way.
Oh, if I was his wife, I would have left her and just kept going.
That's
I'd have stopped at home, packed up, or I'd have locked the door. I'd probably go in the house, lock the door, and say, put a big sign out, you're not welcome. Hit the road.
That's it.
Go stay with the guy, your bishop.
Yeah, go stay with him. You're not staying here.
Your boyfriend. Your boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then he got heat for it and says, I've always done that. You've always done that. Oh, my goodness. Who allowed you to do that to them?
Wow.
No.
Think about that in the church. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is craziness. It's really crazy. So.
Absolutely.
I've never seen anything like that, you know.
No,
so.
Not even.
And it's allowed in the church.
Right.
Oh.
No, that's crazy stuff. Wow. Woo.
Well, we knew it was going downhill. after that.
Oh, boy.
It's like we're in trouble. Oh, yeah, it is. It is.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Okay. Now, we were going to go back to 30. However, can we go just a little bit, 29.53, because I want to catch, instead of 30, 29.53, we want to get Bill Gates' entire statement. This starts with Bill Gates, so if we go 29.53, we'll get the full statement, and stop it as you like.
All right, here he is.
The progress can be made, both inventing new vaccines and making sure they get out to all the children who need them.
The solution you never asked for, the solution that's worse than the problem you started with, is it technology? The answer is yes.
The benefits there in terms of reducing sickness, reducing the population growth, it really allows the society a chance to take care of itself once you've made that intervention.
All right, so break that down for us. We know we started it at 29.53, and he's talking about the vaccines and what the vaccines can do, so share.
Well, I had it's about population growth. He added that in there. Now, how do
right.
the vaccines, what do the vaccines have to do with population growth?
Nothing. But he wants to, like Ted Turner, like that other video
mm-hmm.
you presented, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ted Turner's looking to kill off a bunch of people. But
right.
he's not on that list. He's not volunteering.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
When we played the audio of Bill Gates before and it disappeared after that, we played that. He had, and that was at that TED conference, he actually spoke about how vaccines could be used to depopulate, you know, an area.
Wow.
And you know, he went into detail about it. And we played that. We played that thing. And, you know, it shows, you know, now that they have the vaccines or they're doing vaccines, it disappeared. So that shows that, you know, they're hiding stuff. So,
right.
It was crazy to even put out an audio like that. It was crazy to even, you know, put out something like that and then say, oh, by the way, here's the vaccine. I mean, come on. You know, either they're using that to scare you, or they could be using that, or they could actually be doing that. One of the two. We only have two options here. Go ahead.
And I think they're doing. I think they're doing it to get rid of people.
Mm-hmm.
Look. COVID. How many people did COVID get rid of?
A lot of seniors.
Now, let's talk for a moment. Let's talk for a moment.
Okay.
Seniors who were not working and who
mm-hmm.
were getting a check from the government, right?
Yep.
And medical benefits, right? Wiped
mm-hmm.
them out. Okay. The
yep.
second group that it wiped out, were people with underlying conditions, which means that they were young, but they had
mm-hmm.
diabetes or they had other things. So the medical bills were high. It wiped them out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now look how much money the government is saving by having gotten
yes.
rid of the elderly and having gotten rid of people who have underlying conditions. Because that's what really, you know, what really drives up medical costs is not the healthy people who pay into the system. What drives up medical
mm-hmm.
costs is the people who have the plans but who have underlying conditions.
Right.
Those are the people, right, who you know. Listen, car insurance is not for the people who have the new car. Car insurance is for the people who have jalopies.
Mm-hmm.
Because the jalopies break down in the middle of the road and they're the ones that cause the accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not the new car is not going to break down on the road. The new car's got
right.
5 or 6 years of good life. It's you're dealing with a car that has rust underneath, that maybe the axle is bad, and that axle goes off and the car is going 70 miles per hour and that axle breaks, and forget it, you have chaos on the road.
Yes.
Right? So
So
again, you know, they're eliminating people that are costing money. That's how I see it.
Well, the we talked about this quite a while ago, how it appeared to us that they were trying to get rid of people, and the only thing we could say about it was that it appeared at the time that they were trying to get away, you know, get rid of people who were like takers. You know, we put them in two categories. You have the takers and the givers. Well, some people take, you know, and Social Security, they've earned that, you know.
Sure,
people have earned
that
from working. But the government views them as takers now.
Right.
And then the givers. The givers are the people who are paying in. The takers are the people who are taking out. And we talked about that and said, you know, that's what it appears to us. This is before COVID.
Right.
It looked like that to us before then. And so it still looks like that, only they took it a step further.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So it's amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
I mean, why would Cuomo tell the establishment to send sick patients to their nursing homes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our governor
right?
did too. Yep.
And then just wipe out a whole I mean, I'm not making this up.
No. Nope.
I mean that's public record.
Mm-hmm.
And President Trump, he took a naval ship and he turned it into a hospital, and Cuomo didn't send anybody there. President Trump took the Javis Center down in Manhattan, turned it into a hospital. Cuomo didn't send anybody there. He sent them all into their nursing home. And all those people were wiped out.
That's right. It's the same thing happened here. They took the convention center down there and turned it into a hospital. I think maybe they put 16 people total in there.
Right.
Out of all these thousands, they were saying, you know, that needed help, 10,000
right.
that month. And the hospitals were full and all this, but yet she had a whole facility. That, by the way, was also the voting facility. They used that for a voting, for the voting, air quote.
Wow.
Where we had the problem. She turned that into that. So think about that.
Yeah.
You know,
doesn't
make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense, but surely there's a need now. Remember, they were giving a lot of things away. Now it's time to pay. So all the prices on everything are going up, and there's less people they owe the government money on a monthly basis, you know. So it all fits together. And they're all doing the same thing. Your governor, my governor, did the same
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
So they're all on the same page. They have one mind.
Yeah, the one thing is that Cuomo didn't send his mother there. He just sent,
Right.
No, not mama.
Yeah.
So.
And ours didn't send her father there either.
Yeah. So,
in fact, when
it's
no one could fly, she went. She went on taxpayer money down to visit on vacation to see her father.
Wow.
Into Florida. Yeah.
Wow.
But nobody else
Amazing.
Could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't buy a gallon of paint here. You know, you couldn't do anything, any home improvement at all.
Yeah. Yeah, the rules don't apply to these people. They just don't apply.
Nope.
They, you know,
nope.
They get over.
That's
okay,
right.
Here's more.
Once you've made that intervention, reducing the population,
technocrats, none of this goes too far because it all supports their larger aim of proper scientific management of the population. And under this system, individual power, the meaning of individual lives and the weight of our individual decisions, especially the most meaningful among them, is dangled in front of our increasingly fragmented and steered and diluted lives. People cluster into their mindset groups, our audience included, and they clash on a regular basis with fresh ideological opponents, and they race to this issue and race to that issue, and a lot of those issues are certainly important and worth talking about, but don't lose the forest for the trees. The ideological opponents that are being clashed with, no matter how naive or stupid or wrong their belief might be, few, if any, of those people hold any real power within the system. Where's your focus? Are you just charging like a bull when you see red? I don't know. Under this system of scientific management, huge amounts of money have gone into further developing technology and into refining and bulking up the systems that they have, the institutions that are designed, at least in theory, to benefit the masses and aid their survival. These powers that be under this scientific management system haven't cured poverty. They haven't even taken a serious dent in it. They haven't cured cancer or heart disease or anything else we might put on that list. They haven't healed the wounds of history and the previous clashes between people, or particularly provided a very fair deal for everyone. Some things have gotten better over the years, but not everything. But now, the same system of technology and scientific management, they're ready to sell the public on space missions to Mars, on massive particle accelerators, on new AI systems, on weapon systems ad nauseum, obviously, and every type of technology that in the digital world and with the Internet of Things is invading every inch of space occupied by the interaction of individual people and the society in which they live. They've said, all right, we have individuals, but everything they do in this system, that's what we're going to take data on because we own that part. You might be an individual, but you've got to move around in this room. They're ready for computers and the Internet to grow and to feed AI systems combined with the Internet of Things, that they plan to invade every inch of space occupied between the people, the individual people of this world, and their interaction with the society in which they live. Every last point of interaction becomes an opportunity for data, for human behavior research, for the application of social behavior nudging. You might have free will in theory as an individual, but every move you make is tabulated and calculated and used to feed future predictions, to suggest things to you, to nudge you, to condition you, and to lead you on to where someone else, someone who you probably don't even recognize, know, or have a good conception of, an idea that someone else wants to steer you towards. And these are just a few of the issues at hand. Obviously, if we get into specifics, this conversation will never end.
Yeah, they're steering people. They are steering mm-hmm. them. Like cattle.
Yep.
Right?
Yes. You're being nudged, he said, into a one-world system. And, that will include a one-world religion. And that religion will include, a mixture of beliefs. Accept the truth. If you have a mixture, they can't accept, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, the five solas of Scripture. That will not be accepted because the qualifier here is alone, the word alone. You see?
Right.
You can't do anything alone.
Right.
Yeah. That's the religion that will not be accepted into this because you have to believe in, you have to mix together. It's a mixture. You have to blend in. So when we say the grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, no, that's not going to work for this.
It's like the wolf pack, right?
Mm-hmm.
The wolf pack wants to get a bison or a caribou or a moose or whatever. And so they form two lines, right? You got a pack of wolves on the left side. You got a pack of wolves on the right side. And they want the caribou to go right in the middle of the two lines.
Mm-hmm.
So they send one wolf after the caribou. And the caribou sees wolves on the left. He sees wolves on the right. So he says, okay, my escape is in the middle. So they got one wolf chasing him in the middle while the other two wolves hold the line. The other two sides wolves hold the line. He doesn't realize that at the end of the line, there's another five wolves waiting for him. And that's what they're doing. They're flushing us all down that one route.
Yes.
For the kill.
They're going to lead you back to the pack. That lone wolf will lead you back to the pack.
That's it. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing.
I have a quote from George Orwell. You know, when he was writing the book 1984, he said that citizens are watched constantly and language is twisted to aid in oppression. That's amazing. Because the language is twisted, and we can see that now, to aid in oppression. So you're actually, by allowing, you know, this twist in scripture, twist in words, twisting of language, you're actually aiding in your own oppression in this. And that's by design.
Yep.
You know.
Well, it's like you look at all of these cults who use the word born again. They've redefined it, right?
Yeah.
Or any
absolutely.
Other term. Think of the term bishop in the church today. It's been redefined.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and bishop is in the Bible, and we know that the word bishop's in the Bible. We're not denying that, but they've twisted the meaning.
Yes.
And that's what we have to, you know, we have to be aware of that and fight that, and not commit to their definition. So,
you know, I see people all the time on the internet talking about, you know, it's about Jesus. You have to understand it's about Jesus, but they do everything opposed to what Jesus said in the Word of God. And you'll see people say, wow, they're a Christian. They believe in Jesus. Just to say that they believe in Jesus makes them a Christian in the world we live in today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it. I mean, if they just say it, they're a Christian in the world's eyes. And then when they act out or do something crazy and they say, see, it's a Christian. It's always a Christian.
Correct.
Just, you know. So I've noticed that, keeping an eye on that. And I've noticed that they have no resemblance of being a Christian, yet just saying they are, the world believes it.
Sure.
And then when they go off, everyone points their finger at that person and says, see, that's why, you know, I don't follow Christianity. Or they'll say, or they'll quote something that out of context in the Bible, you know. On their, you know, the other Christians, even the Christians, the ones that you can tell have had some kind of correct theology, will jump on board and, you know, say, well, you know, back them up with the scripture out of context. You know, they've had some correct theology, you know, but not enough, you know, not enough. So they'll say, well, and they're accepting, everybody in the world is accepting the fact that everyone that says they're a Christian, that's the bottom line to them. So yes, everything is twisted. And I see in this a rise of Darwinism, evolution, in this scientific world here. And it's interesting because Charles Spurgeon battled with this from the pulpit.
Right.
They just lacked the technology to do what they wanted to do at that time.
That's it.
Spurgeon really battled this in England. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And, you know, like you said, God allows waves
mm-hmm.
of error because it's part of his sovereignty to fulfill the eternal plan.
Right.
Because things have, you see, Bible prophecy says things have to get better, worse,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, before the return of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so,
exactly.
And Bible prophecy being fulfilled. I mean, as much as we hate it, as much as we fight it, as much as we
yeah.
get on the air every week and expose it, we know it's only going
right.
to get worse because Bible prophecy
yep.
tells us it's only going to get worse. You
right.
can't fight it. You know, I mean, you can fight it knowing that God already ordained that it's going to get
mm-hmm.
worse.
And the Bible describes it as birth pains. Now, can you stop labor and just not have that baby? No.
Right.
You know, you can't in the middle of it when things start, when labor starts, true labor. It
Correct.
Doesn't stop until that baby
mm-hmm.
is born.
That's it.
So
that's it.
It's the same thing.
Absolutely. 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 Okay.
And this system, of course, because it's set up on a bad foundation, because it's illusory, because it's corrupt, is crumbling. And all this is now in our time, in the last few years especially, the last couple decades generally, it's facing system collapse. All the things we had hoped were going to get a little bit better, but that maybe technology could patch over, all the shortcomings that maybe people generally hope will be improved, they've just been kind of moving along as the system that might have made it fair collapses more and more until it just becomes a farcical joke of itself and a very dangerous dying creature. The threats that we see in the media, that we learn about in the news, that as a general rule we were never there to see, these threats, real or just perceived, or a mix in between, about the environment, about overpopulation, about pandemics and terrorism, about medical contagions, even the threats reported in the media about the financial collapse itself, about joblessness and mass unemployment, it's collapsing. And this collapse, there's nonstop threats and nonstop bad news, and you really have to question who's wagging the dog. All these threats, at least in as much as they're known in the media and not in your real life, these threats in the headlines and on the news, they're either real or they're perceived or they're a mix between. But either way, they're threats that are felt by the population under this scientific management system. And we're cajoled onwards, and the collapse itself accelerates as we feed energy into the false constructs, the narratives that are reported and editorialized or propagandized around these threats, again, whether they're real or perceived. And all that creates confusion and bad energy and a stymied, self-defeating sense. And then the media doubles down with campaigns against people who are individual, against people who have common sense, against people who aren't ready to just capitulate to groupthink because something is reported in the media, and to attack people who question science, who actually read studies and don't just go by the word of some scientist who's on a media show, people who don't share the population's general enthusiasm for this rule by science that is apparently so liked by the masses. You know, one of the biggest memes I've seen out there, not just on the internet, but for many years now when I've met just ordinary people in my life, friends, family, acquaintances, and so forth, people at the grocery store, there's all these people saying, I love science. I'm a fan of science. I appreciate science. Me, I go by the science. And those people, if they're cheering on science or if they just live under a system of scientific management that they only half-heartedly recognize, those people, in accepting and approving and giving their consent for rule by science as a concept, those people in the masses cheering it on, I love science. Well, they're trusting the kind of people who have been chosen to be propagated on TV. This is not the idea that we should be ruled by superstition or that we should be Luddites and not accept any advances. But science needs to be checked by a conversation or a mental thought or a checklist concept of power of science and who might or would or will or does benefit from the balance of power when a scientific advance is made and applied. Because most of what we're talking about when we cheer on science or discuss science's role in society is not pure science of, hey, what is true? Are colors real? Is the sky really blue? Let's find out. Let's go calculate it. It's how is science applied? There's a tracking device for cars. There's a camera on the street, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The surveillance society, this technologically managed society, the automated society that has contributed heavily to the unemployment, but not just giving people leisure and time off, but taking away their power to make a difference. You know, this system gains its evil in the way it's applied. By the 20th century was when things were really highly organized. That's when the bankers took larger control of the system. That's when factories began to be automated. And that's when an obvious acknowledgement of what to do with the people, how to manage them with the technology, was clearly taking place.
The free university, historically the fountainhead of free ideas and scientific discoveries, has experienced a revolution in the conduct of research. Partly because of the huge cost involved, a government contract becomes virtually a substitute for intellectual curiosity.
Around the time of World War I, we reached a new phase in the application of science. That's when the military-industrial complex was truly born. That's when scientific research as a body of government institutional funded, publicly funded research really began. And when it began, it was only in specific concert with the branches of the military and with the university systems. The laboratories and universities came together with the military and with the corporations, and the application of these scientific advances was from the very beginning of the World War I and pre-World War I time. It was coordinated. And through both world wars and the reorganization of society in the post-war era, so much power has been taken away and given to that system, invested in it.
This was secret. This was a secret. We weren't in.
All right. I don't know when to stop it because he's goes from one subject to another. So let me just stop it there and take your comments.
Yeah. Well, this is fear-driven, too, and that's why we did that series on fear.
Right.
You have fear of the pandemic, but then you have fear of travel. This is what they're imparting. You have fear of getting the jab, and then you have fear of the side effects after it. You see?
Right.
They put out things like, okay, you need to get it or you're going to have really bad symptoms and possibly die if you don't get a vaccine and you get COVID. But then they turn around and say the vaccines are causing blood clots. You see? They have both.
Yep.
That's to elevate fear in a person. And we remember that the Bible tells us that men's hearts fail them for fear, for the things that are coming on the earth in the end time.
Right, right.
You know, so they swing it, you know. It's to swing the narrative to gain control of the population if you constantly keep them in fear. Another thing here is I don't know how many times each one of these governors were saying, we're just following the science. That's what
right.
we're doing. I know our governor, that was her favorite expression, and I know Cuomo did the same thing.
Right.
Follow the science. Well, this is junk science. Where's it coming from? The person on the internet, you know, somebody
right.
that wasn't elected and we're not sure of their background. You know, this is where our top scientists are now. You know, remember when we used to be afraid of the crazy person? I don't know, you'll remember this, that had was in charge of the nuclear red button.
Remember that? Yeah.
There was a time that we were always, you know, we looked at China, we looked at Russia, we looked at the different leaders, and the fear at that time was, could that be in the hands of a crazy person? You know, that would just push the button and set off a nuclear war. That's gone. That's gone now. These people have that button in front of them.
Sure.
You know.
Right. And think of,
think of a
guy like Trump. Think of a guy like Trump. Trump was suspicious, but he said, okay, I got to trust Fauci because Fauci's a doctor. I'm not. Right?
Yeah.
But then over time he said, this Fauci guy, he's a, he contradicts himself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Trump, you know, when people run a business, you can tell who's lying to you, who's, you know, when you have workers, when you deal with people, you get, you develop skills real fast, and you know who's lying to you, who's telling you the truth, you know, who's playing games. And Trump said, this guy's playing games. This guy's a fool. And he figured it out because he's a, you know, he's a New Yorker. So, no, awful. It's like the military. The military used to tell Trump, we got to do this. And Trump says, I'm doing the opposite because you guys just want war. And that's why he was hated. He was hated because he was a common sense person. Common sense. So,
well, you know, the problem is for us will be when people feed into the narrative that's being presented. It becomes a problem for us because they've drank the Kool-Aid, okay?
Right.
So you know that everyone who will not drink the Kool-Aid is going to be in trouble.
Right.
But then in the middle of this, you have people who are addicted to this technology. So that wouldn't necessarily drink the Kool-Aid of what's being presented. However, they're addicted to the technology. So what do you do with that? You know, at the end of the day, it's all being driven to pit people against one another. That, you know, and that brings us back to the scripture that I quoted in Revelation. Look, you're in or you're out in this. You're either going to go with the masses or you're going to not go with the masses. And I think only the Lord knows the difference of who will and who won't, you know? This is definitely going to separate people. Definitely.
Because
there's people who will drink. Look at Jonestown. There were people who ran. There were very few that ran away before the Kool-Aid was dished out or escaped.
Right.
And maybe a couple while it was happening. You see? And I think that if we look at that and we compare that to today and look at, this is just like Kool-Aid. They're dishing out the Kool-Aid and people are drinking it.
And so, like you said, in Jonestown, they all basically died because if you drank the Kool-Aid, you died. If you ran, you died. Right? Is there really a way of escape?
Yeah.
Not really. Once you get in, very few people escape.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
And that's your job, pulling them out of the fire. See? You're pulling people, and you hate the garment, you know, spotted with flesh. But you're going to pull them out of that fire. And that's what you're trying to do by teaching truth. You're pulling them away from the fire. in essence, getting them out of there
yeah.
before they go into the fire. You know what I mean? You're pulling them out before they're while you can. You got to escape
right.
this while you can. And only truth is going, you know, going to do that. People
yeah,
just need real good discernment. But go ahead.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I want to hear what you had to say.
Yeah, I was just going to say that even when you try to help people, like telling them the truth, like on the bishops, they call you stupid, hater, Pharisee, you know, every name under the sun. So you don't win. You don't win.
Well, that to me, I think, is a separation of the wheat and the tares. I really think that because if you're, they love God or they say they love, you know, God's word, they say they love Jesus and they refuse to listen to the truth. What does that tell you? Do they really love Jesus? Are they really his? You have to ask yourself that.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
I mean, if you love Jesus but will not listen to what he has to say in his word, do you really love him? Are you really a part of his church? I mean, maybe you're fooled. But when you do hear the truth, maybe there's people that are being fooled, okay? But when the truth, God's word, is presented to you and you say, I don't want to hear it, you could be a tare, you
right,
know,
right.
very likely. So, you know, maybe it's the separation in the church. I don't know what else, the Kool-Aid drinkers and the non-Kool-Aid drinkers. Doctrinally,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's, this guy's
okay.
amazing.
And on it.
The power of choice, the power of destiny, our power and control as individuals has been seriously lapsed, and some people have it recognized as an illusion of that power. The semblance of that individual power has been reintroduced into our consciousness and used as a kind of reassuring blanket when it's not really there. That power has been vested somewhere else by you and your consent. And you fail to get it back, you're gleaning onto the idea that you have power. You become a cheerleader or even just a crowd stadium enthusiast for the scientific management system. Why? Because yay science, because it's a bumper sticker, because there's a celebrity guy who says he's a scientist who's on a bunch of talk shows and says, the best thing we could do is obey scientists.
I think we're in the middle of a massive experiment. The experiment is, will people listen to scientists? Mm-hmm. Maybe the coronavirus will just blow on by with a minimum of cases. And then we kick this ass for obeying the recommendations of scientists.
So the people who've quarantined and who've been meticulous and vigilant and so on, who've not been infected, in fact, we're saying, well, maybe they're at the highest risk. Once they come out of their quarantine and of being so obedient.
We're in a bad way having the conversation on those terms and cheering it on. Your lives, too, have been consumed by this total system collapse. And part of the reason for the collapse is the giving away of individual power, but now by community after community, population after population, by the millions, by the billions. It affects us all in different pervasive ways. So what is the solution? What can be done about it? Unfortunately, I don't know. I don't know the solution. Apart from taking a personal stand and trying to live my life by principles that I think are right, trying to live my life as disengaged from that corrupt system as possible, choosing to opt out where I can, not volunteering for any programs or asking for handouts. But living that way is becoming more difficult, and that system is becoming way more pervasive. As Eric Schmidt himself said during this pandemic fallout, he said, in essence, to paraphrase in the new era, technology is required. You will have to have your cell phone or the internet on a computer to conduct business.
So all of a sudden, the internet is no longer optional. It's fundamental to doing business, to operate, to live our lives.
That system is more imposing and invasive than ever. And it is harder to opt out and take any kind of personal stand. I do what I can. I hope you are too. It's not the full solution, though. And the political climate today, the experts on TV telling everyone what to do about the pandemic and all the other issues, is one in which they're attempting to make more and more things mandatory. They want an authorization. They want a check. They want a system of technology to track and trace and authorize you. And most of you know that, and it's pretty plain to see, but it's worth recognizing. Authorization and authority are part of the same word. It's the same root word of author. Who's the author of your life? Who has true authority? And especially, what man or system of man or system of science even, which is still a system of man, which of those systems has due authority over your life to the extent that the system today has? Is such a system supposed to know everything that you do and everything about us collectively? Is that a good system? Is that headed in a good direction? Are you going to do anything about it? And can you do anything about it? Can we all still do anything about it? I wish I had a better answer. I thought the mantra of progress and human dignity, even as it's been, you know, scattered across this ideological conflict, was basically my body, my choice. My body, my choice. That's my sovereignty. Your authority, so-called, should stop long before it gets to my toes and my fingers and my head, but it definitely stops there. The point is, why does the scientific management system get to decide who gets what injection or who gets to reproduce and with whom and who gets to live here and who gets what level of handout and monetary support and material support? Whether your luck is good or not in that system and whether you have a little better than others or not, it's a dangerous system. It's not healthy. And there must be a way to think our way out of this. I wish I had that solution for you, but so far I don't. Action without thought will be pointless, whatever the intention. So whatever is done better be well thought out, and it better be the right thing to do in this situation and in the situation generally. I know that there must be a way to think our way out of this. For us as individuals, for all of society, there's got to be a solution to this. But we're obviously blinded to it at this moment. We're obviously at a major crossroads and the major turning point of a great starting over. I think it's pretty clear that there will be a reset. That system has been collapsing, good, bad, or indifferent. And the question hinges around whose reset. The one designed by self-interested, colluded, working together in secret technocrats who have assumed authority over the entire population, or something else, one which restores dignity and hope, I guess, for a people who've been deluged by technology, who have forgotten their purpose in many cases, who've given authority over to devices and bureaucrats, and who've been in different ways replaced and outcompeted and even outthought and boxed in.
This bird is reinforced on.
All right, let's stop there before they go back to the birds.
Right.
Because we
which
saw
we
the
are.
Birds already. Yeah.
We keep pecking at the same thing, right? Going
That's
back.
That's it.
Yeah, they've been using us for a long time as guinea pigs. We just didn't realize
yes.
it, you know. So, listen, these people want to be God. They want to be like the Most High. You know, where do we know, who do we know is behind it when they want to be like the Most High here?
Right.
You know, and they forget that man was created from dirt. Think about it.
Yep.
Now, you know. That's where man started. Now, you know, dirt can produce some essential things, but only if God is the one who shapes it. That's my thought on that.
You're absolutely correct. Only
you know,
if God blesses it. Only if God blesses
yep.
it. and it regenerates.
Produce. That's right. So is he ripe, though, for the gospel right now? I would say so. Because I don't have the
Absolutely.
Answer. Do they have the answer? And I thought, wow. Because he's certainly intellectual, you know. He's certainly, I think, willing. He would be willing, open for discussion,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
on it. You know,
Absolutely.
I was thinking when they were saying this, and this is just my thought on this, you know, we know that the Lord sets us free. And we know that we were purchased by his blood. Just
right.
the fact that he had to purchase us, I was thinking, shows that we've been a slave to something, whether it be sin, you know, which we know
yep.
we were. Someone else was our owner, and that was Satan at the time.
Right.
So I was thinking about when the Lord said, I've purchased you with my own blood, we did not realize that we were already slaves. You know? I was thinking about that as I was listening to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't realize it, you know? Is that a slave to sin? Yeah. Who owned us? Satan, when we were in the world. I mean, that's who, you know, that was the owner. And the Lord's blood, he came in to purchase us. And just the fact that the purchase there, I thought, wait a minute. So many people in America think we've always been free, land of the free. You know what? We've been slaves. When you're in the world, you're a slave to someone. You know,
right.
you're going to serve someone. So that thought, I know it's off track, but that kind of just, I was thinking about that as I was listening. My mind went somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, it's a good, it's
with the
a
whole
good
thing.
Point because... It's a good point because, again, you know, we need to give everything a biblical context. Yes.
Yeah.
We live in America and they claim that you're free, but how many in America who are free politically are in
mm-hmm.
bondage spiritually?
Correct.
So,
yeah.
You know. We always have to give
you
it
think
that,
about
that
it.
Biblical.
God created us, and yet Jesus had to use his own blood to purchase us.
Right.
You know, he purchased us with his blood. Yet God created us. So, you know,
right.
in between that is sin, right?
Correct.
You know, that's, I think we're in the stages of being, you know, physically now, I think this is, you know, we're being conquered. They're conquering. They're trying to conquer people right now in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In every area. This is what I see going on right now. You know, it's just a fulfillment of prophecy.
Yep. Look, the end game here is that Antichrist is going to take over. Everything
yeah.
has to be set up for him. There's no way of escaping it. As much as we dread
mm-hmm.
this system that's being you put in place, Biden and everybody else is just falling into place. The world is being set up for Antichrist. Again, the sovereignty
yeah.
of God, the fulfillment of biblical
yep.
prophecy. You're not going to stop it.
Yep.
We're just not. You know?
Yeah, we're not going to stop prophecy from being fulfilled, because you think about it, we're a part of it. We're a part of that prophecy. You know, in the end times, we're
yeah.
very much a part of this.
Yeah. If you're alive today, you're part of it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so, all right, here's more.
Okay.
Only at the end of each 1 minute period. Even if he pecks 100 times, so he must peck the disc at least once to activate the food dispenser. He soon learns the minimum amount of work he must do for this type of reinforcement schedule, and takes it easy in between payoff times.
I hope there is someone. I hope someone can think this through and really find the true solution, someone authentic, relatively uninterested in self-gain within the ranks of this rotten system, even better if they're outside of the system, but someone who can articulate the problem and see it for what it is and who wants to see the way out for the benefit of the bulk of humanity and not for the perpetuation of a system that has long been dedicated to enslaving us. Sorry if that's a loaded word, but when you give up all your choice and authority and power to make individual decisions, to make decisions for yourself, when you lose that, the condition is slavery. It could be the most fairyland-friendly version of it where you don't even know you're enslaved, but we're talking about the basic condition here. And I don't want to live in that system. I want to maintain humanity and dignity and individuality. And I really pity those who don't want that. There's got to be a solution, and I want to see it. I can see that there is a solution, that it must be there. I just can't see that solution. But maybe if someone else is able to see it, standing on the shoulders of giants or midgets or whom they might, then maybe we can all see it. Maybe there'll be a 100th monkey effect that once enough people conceptualize in their own mind what the solution would be and see that it's a good solution and worth working towards, and once someone else sees it, you tell a friend, they tell a friend, or someone else realizes it on their own on a desert island, once enough people see it, maybe then we can all see it, and then we'll know what it is we're supposed to be working towards instead of just fighting for the faster destruction, not only of the system and of the little pellets and benefits that come out of the system as miniature bribes that everyone has to take because everyone needs to survive and everyone needs to eat and have a place to live, not just so we could see a way for that to work and stop collapsing, but so we could see a system that actually reflects the values of being an individual person with vested power, with agency within themselves, who is worthwhile because they can think, because they can make their own decisions, and because they have something important to say or do. Maybe that's just a dream. But I really hope someone could see it so I could see it too. You know, it's pretty much the problem of the Gordian knot. All right, so I'm going to read this. It's on Wikipedia, but it gets the point across. The Gordian knot is associated with Alexander the Great. It's often used as a metaphor for an intractable problem, untying an impossibly tangled knot, solved easily by finding an approach to the problem that renders the perceived constraints of the problem mute, i.e., cutting the Gordian knot. So there's this famous knot in the mythology. Nobody could figure out how to untie it. It was all complicated. It was a special knot, and even the best people couldn't figure it out. And after Alexander the Great, who conquered all those lands, after he was vexed with the problem, I think he took his sword and cut through it. He cut through the knots. If you can't untangle them, if you can't untie them, then there's the sword just to cut through them and get it off.
Strangely, before subduing Phoenicia, he struck north towards Gordia. Perhaps because of the challenge it presented, the ancient world's greatest puzzle was there, a knot that couldn't be untied. Alexander cut it in two with his sword. Lateral thinking, you see, centuries ahead of his time.
You know, Einstein is famously, or at least frequently quoted as saying, we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. And of course, it's a truism. Other people have said it in other ways. You can't solve the problem with the kind of thinking that got you into the problem. Here we are having been a people who gave away their power and authority to an undue system. You know, we blew it, but we could try again. But we're not going to solve the problem by perpetuating the problems that made the problem worse. And I really hope that becomes clear as this situation advances, as they try to convince people that things are mandatory and that making something mandatory somehow makes it right. There's got to be a way. There's got to be a better way. We've got to find a way to solve our problems by thinking outside of the box of those problems. This is the Gordian knot. There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. Somehow, there's got to be a way. Unfortunately, that's the final desperate line from Soylent Green, which is like the personification of our own cannibalistic industrial system of eating ourselves, you know. Unfortunately, that's a last desperate cry at the end of a horror movie and dystopic future. And our present situation is tending in that sort of direction. Pick one or more dystopian futures. You pick one you think looks like the way things are going. Only don't buy into it too much. Let's not put our thinking only in that direction, because if we can envision something different, a better alternative, something that's actually positive, maybe we could, in theory, set the course straight. Again, if we see the solution and see it in a way that we could believe it within ourselves, maybe we could finally execute it somehow.
Yeah, it's a problem that's not going to be solved.
Exactly.
Some things can be temporarily solved. For example, mm-hmm. We are not going back to those bad churches,
mm-hmm.
right? We left them.
Yep.
And so, how do you fix those churches? Do you fix those churches by praying and waiting for God to change those pastors? Well, they're apostates. They're not going to be changed. I believe, and this is me now, this doesn't have to be everybody, but I believe that when you're an apostate, you've already crossed the line of no return. So for mm-hmm. me to be in a church and say, I'm going to pray for Balaam to be saved, when the Bible already tells me that Balaam is an accursed child, that
right.
Balaam or Cain, you know, when the Bible says they have gone the way of Cain, they
yeah.
have ran greedily after the way of Balaam and have participated in the gainsaying of Korah. So Cain, Balaam, and Korah are never going to be saved. They're apostates. They've gone beyond the point. So for me to stay in a church and pray, oh, Jesus, you know, save the bishop. No, the bishop
yeah.
is an apostate, so I need to hightail it out of there. See, that's
correct.
The Gordian knot. See,
yeah.
the old way of
yep.
picking these people out, that's not going to work. What you do is you leave,
yep.
and you hurt them
yep.
where it hurts the most, in the pocket, because when you leave,
right.
your money leaves. See?
That's right.
That's how you do it, I mean, in my humble opinion.
Well, the Word does
so,
tell us that regarding the Jews there, where the Lord said, you know, I would not have you pray for these people. He has instructed us in his Word not to pray at one point to a people. They had gone so far that he didn't want to hear it. You know, I mean, they have
right.
they stepped over the line.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have you pray for these people. You know, there are people, I think, that they go so far, and you can pray and pray and pray for that person to turn around. And if it's not there, it's not there, you know. There are people
right.
that are born for condemnation. I'm telling you, the Bible says that.
Right.
So, I don't know. So, I get what you're saying. The only thing we have as an alternative is to walk away.
That's it. Because, listen, I don't have the time to fool around with these people. Time's of the essence, right? So,
that's right.
You know, other people want to hang around and see if things change, be my guest. I'm out of here.
A lot of people... A lot of people, when Jesus fed the 5,000, a lot of people were there for the food, just to eat the food, and then they left. You know what I'm saying? There are people that have
mm-hmm.
walked away. Jesus never chased after some of those people. You know?
Right.
Didn't say, wait a minute, I'm going to chase you down you're going to listen to this. No, he said it and walked away. You know, he spoke and people stayed and listened, and there were people that walked away. And
right.
Several times in the Bible, he let them walk.
Yeah, some people just.
So you have to say, were they his? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the question. That's the, you know, it's like the parable of the 10 virgins. Which ones are his and which ones aren't?
Yeah.
Right?
All 10 showed up for the wedding.
Right.
They all showed up for the wedding, but only 5
did.
Were let in.
Right. Yeah. I don't have,
this
you know,
is,
I don't have the luxury. I don't have the luxury of time. I'm not young. I'm not a spring chicken. So I don't have, you know, or a spring rooster. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
So I don't have time to be waiting around to see who changes and who. I'm out of there.
Right.
And
well, I know
in
the church
that.
I was in, I knew nothing. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was to get out of there. The Lord didn't tell me
right.
stay and pray for this person. You know, hope for a change. I think in the beginning you kind of hope for a change when you see him going downhill. Surely something happened here.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was time to go and just leave, you know, wipe the dust off my feet. Get out of there.
Yeah. Right,
you
right,
know.
Right.
Well, I
right.
had another quote here from Jacques, and it says, "No one knows where we are going. The aim of life has been forgotten. The end has been left behind. Man has set out at tremendous speed to go nowhere." Now, we know where they're headed, you know, these people.
Right.
But, you know, that's a part of the plan. You know, they have no idea where they're headed themselves. They know what they want to accomplish. But they have no idea where this is going to end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Would you trust your future with that? No.
Right.
No.
No, I wouldn't.
It's amazing. No.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's see. We have, I think we have seven more minutes. Yeah. Hold on.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Okay. I think.
I would love to see that. The example would have to be made. Someone who really sees it would have to make the right example at the right time, the right symbol, you know, that hits just the right note. I'm really not talking about the existing governments. I'm talking about how do we see outside of the problems that we've created. I'm not talking about adopting a resource-based technocracy either, okay? Let's keep thinking. There are no utopian solutions, and WALL-E is not a utopian solution. No world made of flesh or holograms or digital ones and zeros will ever offer a perfect balance of everything that allows a perfect sense of justice and fairness for everyone and opportunity. It's a good ideal to strive towards, but don't buy into it too much. Let's keep thinking. Our journey here is to recognize how much power we have given up as a community of individuals at the expense of someone else's vision for us to live as a collectivized unit managed by them and their friends, managed by them and those who are colluded in it, managed by the leading stockbrokers and estimators and accountants and planners and administrators, think tanks, policymakers, petty bureaucrats, AI chatbots and algorithms too, which are contrived now to do so much of the heavy lifting. You know, our journey is to recognize the power we have given up in that system, even though there are free giveaways and there are programs for people, and some people need that now. But I'm talking about seeing outside of that. Do what you got to do now, but see outside of it and start working towards it, please. You know, there are countless examples here of far too many people voluntarily giving away their power and authority, and I think that's the best I can do at telling you what's at the root of this problem.
You have no power over me.
The rest of it, I'm trying to see but I'm admitting I haven't seen yet, and I really hope someone else can. The scale of harm that could be done by an inept official or even an inept private citizen in their own messy life is nothing compared to the evils of a highly competent official working under undue authority. It's the recipe for everything we hold ill, especially if you're not their chosen group. We must guard the circles of power and spheres of influence in our own life, taking them on voluntarily and in goodness and with forethought, if at all, if at all. And we must guard against any one ring or any several small rings of concentrated power. In that sense, it's Lord of the Rings and Gollum and Sauron. In that sense, one world is no world at all if it's controlled by one ring of concentrated power under a system of man or technology created by man. No. Say no, and let's keep thinking. Shakespeare wrote in Henry V, turn him to any cause of policy, the Gordian knot of it he will unloose, familiar as his garter. Well, I guess we need that from someone who's coming from the right place on the benefit of ordinary people who just want a basically decent system and then hopefully better and not the crap that we're living under. All right, we need someone who can envision and see this Gordian knot solution so that we can all see it. It's also the problem of a minnow trap. And from the point of view of a minnow, it's an inward funnel of seeming opportunity from which there's then little hope for escape. If a catalyst or a frightening incident can occur in front of that minnow trap, then it can provide the energy needed for the reaction of trapping the minnow. That is to say, the stimulus of surprise, a scare, then creates an incentive for that fish to not only move, but to change its motion into evasive action. And once evasive action is initiated, it's just a matter of being steered into the trap and going down the tunnel of no return. Once the minnows are provoked, once the inciting incident occurs, once there's a big thing they talk about on the media that no one can ignore and everyone must obey, once there's a situation too big for anyone to handle or contain, once those minnows are provoked, they're easily enough steered into the trap, gradually at first down the tunnel, then past the threshold, which evades their processes of logic and thinking until it's too late. And lest we should degrade the mind of the simple minnow, it's worth pointing out that the bulk of humanity, i.e. the most decent part of us on the whole, are easily duped into the same exact type of trap. This is in essence the problem we must solve. How can we avoid the point of no return in this general trap that we're caught in? It's the trap of problem-reaction-solution, the Hegelian dialectic. An alarming stimulus pops up. Most of the people react. At the same time, the specter of too much control pops up on the other hand and causes the other group of people to react. But the problem is that we're facing a scientific management system which has thought many moves ahead. And the problem and its reaction have both been anticipated. And the reaction, even when it's done for the right reasons and in response to good issues, tends toward the solution concocted by the controllers of this scientific experiment. It's not the fact that science can study conditioning and know that it's a true factor. It's the fact that the conditioning is used by the scientific management class to control and trick and befuddle and confuse and steer us into their traps. It's the problem of being still too naive to recognize the problem reaction solution. How do we recognize the true problems for what they are and not get caught in going further and further down the narrowing tunnel? Please, I really hope someone could see their way out of this and then tell me about it.
I guess that's it.
Yes.
And what's the answer, Sister Marie? What's the answer?
Well, the answer is Christ. Yes,
that's
Christ.
It. That's it.
Yeah. The whole series has been, doing these things. We're doing these things because we want to keep you from falling into these snares in the world. You know, there's snares
mm-hmm.
everywhere. And one thing we can do, there's a couple things, not make it so easy for them. You know, we need
mm-hmm.
to stop giving our authority where it doesn't belong. That's one thing. They do not have the authority over us. So don't be so easy to give away your authority. You said all we want to do is to be left alone. That is not going to happen in this society. So
nope.
I'm not going to make it easy. I'm not going to hand my authority over to where it doesn't belong.
Right.
That's one thing I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what
yeah,
thoughts
I don't
do
think,
you have on it?
I don't think anyone's volunteering to give away their rights, but what they're doing is in the midnight hour, they're passing legislation that while we're sleeping,
mm-hmm.
They're putting things into law. And then we say, what happened? When did this happen?
Yeah.
And it happened while we were asleep.
Exactly.
That's what, you know, that's what happened. Like Biden, the Biden administration shutting down the oil pipes but giving out crack pipes. How did that happen?
Yes.
Right?
While we were sleeping. Yep.
Yeah. So there we go again. See, that's the issue at hand. So what's
the
answer?
Right back to the
I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I do know. We know it's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But the
it's
answer
King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Right. But to unravel this mess that we're in, there's no way to unravel it.
Yeah. That's the Gordian
no
knot.
Way. Mm-hmm.
I think he called it.
Right.
I think he called it correctly.
Yep.
So to me, it was informative just to find out, you know, to see things for what they are in the world right now. We just need to understand what's going on, you know, and keep from those snares. There's snares everywhere.
Right.
You know. And it's
absolutely.
So easy to get caught up in any of them. Just easy, you know. So we need to pray about it. We need to read God's word. We need to understand what's going on and understand God's sovereignty and just trust the Lord. That's where our trust belongs. Because we know
that
these leaders, as I said before, they have one purpose, you know, and that is to give their power and authority to the beast. That's Revelation 17:13.
And he's coming. He's coming. He will show up like clockwork. He will show up like clockwork. So, all right,
That's great.
You have the last word.
Well, I would say have a great week. Continue to pray about this. Watch out for the snares. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week. Bye. My way may not be easy.
No.